This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Welcome to this week's special guest interview, and I'm delighted to have with me today Nick Rio from Metal at NatWest. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
We're great. Lovely to have you with us. Nick, you are part of the team there at Metal. Just for people that haven't come across Metal, NatWest, you, tell us in 60 seconds what it is you do.
Yeah, sure. So Metal is a challenger bank for SMEs started by NatWest. So we're giving, like, basically, we like to think we're giving people the financial confidence to turn their passion into an opportunity. So we help SMEs get a business account in minutes via mobile app and start trading. We've been in the market for 2 years now. We were born out of NatWest. So we're part of one of the new ventures that NatWest has spun up. And as for my role, I lead business development and partnerships at Metal. So I focus on distributing Metal via third parties, and specifically accountants and accounting software provider. So we work very closely, for example, with Reagent.
That's very good. And just about 60 seconds, so well done there. Now, we have an international audience here, Nick. Challenger Bank, define that for our global listeners.
Yeah, so I think it's mostly about the customer experience, right? So it's new banking propositions that are redesigned from the ground up. Most of the time, there will be new brand, a bit like First Direct was probably like 20 years ago to HSBC. They tend to start by providing a mobile app only experience or a mobile first experience. You can apply entirely from your phone. There's no paperwork. There is no branch to visit, nothing. It's fast. It's simple. It's all mobile based. The products tend to be simpler to start with. So most challenger banks start by being e-money providers. There are a few examples. Manzo started that way. Tide are an e-money provider. Metal is an e-money provider. What that means is, in effect, we're providing a wallet to customers. They can hold sterling, and they can make payments and receive payments in sterling. And then the proposition is developed over time. And it tends to be developed around specific customer needs. So challenger banks don't try to replicate the Barclays, NatWest, and Lloyds of the world. They tend to follow a customer-centric approach where they try to answer like their needs, if that makes sense.
Sure. And challenger bank, is that a United Kingdom phrase? Are challenger banks all over the world? Are you international?
Yeah, so Metal is not. So we follow the same strategy that NatWest have, which is we focus on the UK market. But yes, like it's a phenomenon that's been happening across the world. In France, they call them the neobanks because I don't know, French people like to do things slightly differently. But in France, you've got Conto, who are spreading across Europe. There are like in France, in Germany, and Italy. In the US, you've got Chime, for example. So there are examples everywhere. And I think it's a combination of things happening, but like it's basically a perfect storm of technology has become cheaper, more accessible. It's become easier to start a financial services company in the last few years, more friendly regulation, et cetera, et cetera. And so there are a lot of new entrants who are trying to take market share away from the incumbents, if that makes sense.
We'll talk about the new entrants in a moment, but how important is it that you are part of a bigger bank? Because NatWest, for people that don't know, they're one of the biggest banks in the UK. They have a strong high street presence. They've been going for a long time. Does that help?
Yeah, I think so. And so there are a couple of things, like a couple of factors that are super important in the market. I think trust is one of them. When it comes to banking. And so you have to reach a certain level of trust for people to be willing to put their salaries or their income onto your bank account. And being part of NatWest does that. So regardless of, you know, what one can read in the media, et cetera, high street banks are trusted. They've been around for a long time. There's a lot of their brand carries a lot of trust equity, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I think that's definitely one advantage for us. The The second one is probably the expertise, right? So creating a financial, we obviously operate in a regulated market. So when you're creating a new financial services company, having access to the expertise of NatWest and the history as well of like problems that have happened and how existing banks or incumbents worked on these problems is super valuable. So it helps us build something that is by design going to be future proof, right? We hopefully avoid a lot of the mistakes that that other banks have learned from on the way.
Of course. And you mentioned the lower barrier to entry for challenger banks. Is it crowded then? Are there lots of people doing what you do? Talk to us about the competition.
Yeah, I think so. So if I talk about a few of our competitors, right? So like the obvious ones in the market, you've got Starling, Tide, Monzo, Revolut. And they've been at it for a few years now, like 3 to 5 years, I'd say. They are building decent market share as well, right? So they're having good success. They have a good proposition. They've built like strong brands, etc. And I think there some of them are starting to work to go over the hurdle of trust that I was mentioning earlier. Mm. And then you've got like a lot of smaller players, smaller players that have entered in more recent years. And we're one of them at Metal, right? But like the likes of Anemone, you had Coconut, who obviously like pivoted away from banking and more into the accounting side of things. You've got Counting Up into that space. You've got Cash Plus, who were more of a traditional prepaid card provider, and they are pivoting like to becoming a full stack bank. So it's quite a crowded market. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, right, like I do believe customers have been unhappy with high street banks for years as well. And so there's a customer experience gap that creates a huge opportunity for new entrants in the market. And I think that's what these players are going after. Will all of them be successful? Of course not, probably not. There will be failures, there will be consolidation, there will be a bunch of things that happen. There will probably be one or two that emerge as like new high street banks for the UK as well. And I think that's healthy. By the end of the day, I think like the customer wins, right? Because one, like there is more choice in the market, and two, it's pushing the incumbents to really rethink their service proposition, their customer experience. Mm. And that can only be a good thing.
Of course. And tell us about how the business landscape has changed over the last year or two, because COVID's been very challenging for everybody. And in the SME market, for people internationally, that small and medium enterprises, which is the majority of businesses here in the UK and probably all over the world, how have things changed?
So interestingly, right, I think the first lockdown was probably like had a massive impact over the SME market in that a lot of activity was ground to a halt, pretty much. So we saw like company formation, we saw new business, Google searches around business creation, business bank account, etc. Everything started trending down. But then we saw the market rebound in the second half of 2020, and actually higher than it had ever been in 2019 or in previous years. So we saw a lot of pent up demand in the SME market, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
That started like being unleashed like towards the back end of the second half of 2020 and in 2021. So we saw company formation numbers start like skyrocketing. It has normalized a bit more like now, like in the second half of 2021, but we saw like massive amounts of new businesses being created, which I think is a combination of things. Like particularly like with basically like people being put on furlough scheme or being made redundant. They probably had a moment of considering what to do next, and that what might have been a side project or a dream of theirs around like having a business, then like it was the perfect moment to make
it
a reality.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that probably catalyzed a lot of that new business formation. And then we've seen also the move to online, from offline to online, happen. And so a lot of like e-commerce businesses got created. A lot of like shops that were probably like brick and mortar, et cetera, started thinking about, okay, well, actually, how do I get online? Like people are not allowed to travel, get together outdoors, et cetera, or come to my shop. How do I set myself up so I can continue trading? So I think we've definitely seen like the move to online as well, and digital tools in general affect the SME market.
And this must be driven by the younger generations of business owners, because the millennials, the Gen Zs, these are young people. They're not used to walking down a high street and going into a bank to do their finances. Either they want it in the cloud, they want it digital.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's another shift in society that we're seeing. And I think like regardless of COVID, like what we call the passion economy, right? Or what the media in general call the passion economy, we see more and more people having a side gig, a side business that is fueled by their passion in something. They might have a craft. They might want to learn new skills. There might be a number of reasons, or that they might need just a, you know, additional income. So there are a number of reasons that have pushed people into diversifying their work. So they see their career or their income as a portfolio income, if that makes sense, as opposed to just having one single employer, one income line. We did some research earlier this year with YouGov at Mettle, and we found out nearly like every other adult in the UK has had some experience of getting income from a platform, right? Like with the gig economy platform in general. Mm. That could be Airbnb, that could be Uber, that could be Deliveroo, that could be a number of things, right? Or selling things on Etsy. And it's huge, like as in half of the adult population has had an exposure to earning side income from one of these platforms. And then the contribution to the UK GDP is estimated to be 125 billion in the next 3 to 5 years. Again, massive numbers, right? So there is something that's happening, like a shift in society that we're very keen to help with, to support at Mettle. Why do we want to support that? Well, two reasons. I think like traditional banks are probably ill-equipped at the moment to respond to that shift, because these customers are not retail customers. They are not business banking customers. Most of them wouldn't call themselves a business. Like, you know, wouldn't call their activity a business. And the second thing is, I think some of the customers, like there's a lot of anxiety in that segment around tax, for example, right? I'm getting into business, but I might not understand all of the implications. And like one, like very real implication of having a new line of income is tax obligations. And so we feel there is like an opportunity to help these people with these things.
Yeah. And how important is it that business banking links to cloud software? I know you have a very good partnership with Free Agent, Nick, don't you?
Right. I think it's three things, right? So if you're going to be running a business, you probably like want to have your like wrap your head around three things. One is get a sense of the health of your business. Are you making money? Do you understand how you spend, where you spend, that sort of thing, right? And I think like here, it's a combination of, okay, you're probably going to need a business account. You don't want to leave like to mix your spend and income up with your personal expenses and income.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, you're going to need some help in interpreting that data. And that help might come in the shape of an accountant or accounting software. So I think today, and that's what we've been doing with FreeAgent, obviously, very successfully. Today, we created an integration between Mettle and FreeAgent. So we synchronize bank transactions. So what you see in FreeAgent is what you see on your bank account. We synchronize the receipts that you can capture from the Mettle app with FreeAgent. So it's another part, important part of getting ready for tax is the record keeping. We help people categorize transactions in the Mettle app. and that these transaction categories flow to free agent as well. They are very important because transaction categories will often underpin tax rules. So again, it's super important that like we make all of these steps like easy for the customer to take on a day-to-day basis. And we can do that in the banking app where customers see their transactions as they come through. But it's also important that we can push that information into a place where it can be structured, interpreted properly, and like ultimately like help people get on top of their cash flow and tax positions, if that makes sense.
Yes, of course. And your role is head of partnerships and business development. It seems like you don't go directly to the businesses. You work through other fintech vendors and perhaps accounting firms. How do you work with them? And what are the benefits of that for them of working with you, Nick?
Yeah, sure. So we primarily, the way we approach the market and the accounting market in particular is primarily through software.
Right.
So we speak to accountants. I speak to accountants, but actually I spend a lot of my time focusing on how to create value by bringing Metal and FreeGen together. Right. So what we want to do is have an integration, have a product as Metal that makes sense for the customer and adds value to the customer, have an integration that, again, adds value, removes hassle for the customer, removes hassle for the accountant. And then once we've got that, what we need to do is let the accounting market know about it. Right. And so there we work together with FreeAgent to speak to their accountants. So we run webinars, we work like very closely. I work very closely with FreeAgent sales and business development teams, basically.
Yeah.
So I guess like here there are two things that are worth talking about. Why accountants like us and why they like the construct like we have with FreeAgent. So why they like Metal is three things. Metal is free, so you don't have any monthly fees, you don't have any transaction fees when you use Metal as an account. It's a modern account, so like, you know, that challenger bank type proposition, apply in minutes from a mobile app, your customer service, like you can chat with your customer service agents via the app, and that modern feel is super important. And we're by NatWest, so the trust element comes in every single time we speak to accountants about Metal, right? And then the additional point of like we working with FreeAgent, what we've developed in our partnerships is we've got an integration. We've got an integration that means the accountants no longer have to reconcile statements or chase their customers to give them receipts or help them categorize transactions. All of that, most of that, we're trying to take it away by having a good integration and a good experience in the Metal app that incentivizes the customer to capture receipts and categories as they go. Yeah. So NatWest and FreeAgent have a long-standing relationship. FreeAgent is actually part of the NatWest group, and so is Metal. So the other things that accountants benefit from today is they get FreeAgent for free when their customers is on a Metal account. So there's a free tariff for accountants.
That's a great deal. We love FreeAgent. They're one of the commercial partners of our show. And without them, we couldn't do what we do. So it's great to give them due mention. You're very passionate about what you do, Nick. If the accounting firms, professionals listening, or even the fintech vendors want to have a chat to you and talk more about what you're doing, what's a good way for them to reach you and find out more?
Yeah, so you can reach me either via LinkedIn or accountants@metal.co.uk, accountants with an S at metal.co.uk. Comes directly like to my inbox and the inbox to a couple of other people. And in terms of how we can support you, so we typically like provide marketing assets, so copy, imagery for accountants to talk to their customers about Metal. And I also act as single point of contact for any questions, any customers who've applied. And like, you know, you don't know what happened to the application. It does happen. Or like, you know, ongoing problems with using the account. We found these two things, the marketing and the customer support side of things, to have been the most powerful powerful things we're doing with, like, we work with hundreds of accountants today. So these are the two main things that have really been the highlights of the last 2 years for us.
Yeah. And last question, Nick, talk to us about the future. What does fintech look like? What does the banking sector look like? And particularly the role accountants play and the partnerships they have with the banks. What's coming up?
Yeah, so that's so interesting. I think, let me have a think about this one.
Nobody knows what's happening next week, Nick. So if you can project beyond that, that's very smart.
Yeah, no, so I think the main thing I would say is technology is probably like shifting how the world looks like for businesses and accountants alike. So I think, you know, banks and challenger banks and high street banks are becoming more integrated. They are aggregating more data, or they're able to pass their data onto more and more providers. So I think one of the things I always like to start from the customer, right? And I think our customers, our joint customers, are having to deal with an increasingly technologically driven world where they have to juggle between a bunch of platforms that are integrated. They have to figure out how to connect the data from these various platforms and how to make sense of it to run their business. They're becoming like incredibly efficient sometimes in doing so, but I think it takes effort, like to figure out how do you restructure or structure your business in a technology savvy kind of way. And I think to some extent, the very same is happening to accountants in that, and we've seen it already, right? With accounting practice are reorganizing how they work around a specific software stack. Mm. So they might decide to go with a single accounting software provider, with a single receipt capture provider, and so on. And they restructure their business around this technology stack. That technology stack probably takes away a lot of the work they used to do manually. If I think about receipt capture, reconciliation, the old proverbial shoebox, like no longer exists, right? Like it's an app, it's all taken care of in the background. But what it does do is it creates opportunities for the accountant to move on to the more valuable problems, cash flow, business insights, business performance, and also just to link to what I was saying from a customer standpoint, like maybe helping customers navigate technological change. So I've seen like more and more accountants, for example, in my discussions, who are helping customers figure out, you know, how do I plug my e-commerce platform, or which accounting software to plug into my e-commerce platform? How do I do my reconciliation properly? What other tools should I put in to be as efficient as I can be, and so on? Mm. So I think the future, I mean, it's a disruption, right? So the nature of it is it's going to change how banks operate. It's going to change how customers operate, and it's going to change how accountants operate. But I see a lot of opportunities there for all of us.
Lots of opportunities, but lots of challenges, and the need for a challenger bank to walk with them on that journey. Nick Brio, that's been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time and the fascinating insights into the world of banking and business relationships. That's been great.
Thank you very much.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.